CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer, as we get together every weekday at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events through a biblical perspective, what we hear in church on Sunday. And again, also, when you read your Bible, come across something you don't understand, hey, call us. That's why we're here, live radio. That number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. Got some lines open. You're sure to get on if you call right now. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker in the Morning Times here, a chosen generation. We have with us Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all the listeners out there. Great to be with you once again on this Thursday. Of course, looking forward to the great questions that always come in. And folks, there's never a dumb question, my friends. We're always learning and growing in the Lord. And whatever people might be hitting you up with, they're challenging you, give us a call. We'd love to answer those questions. You have skeptics. You have people who are just obnoxious in what they ask or say. And many times they're just parroting. They're just parroting people that they heard from before. You can't trust the Bible. The Bible's been translated so many times. They'll throw something about evolution at you and different things. And, Mike, it's a joy to sit here with you and to just give out God's word and let his word do its work. C.H. Spurgeon once said, all we need to do is let the Bible out of the cage, let the lion out of the cage, it'll defend itself. And we just let the word of God defend itself. It's accurate historically. It's accurate through archaeology. It's accurate through prophecy and so forth. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, hey, I'm fired up. I'm ready to go, Mike.
Amen. And so, real quick, if you're in the South Hilo area or in Hilo itself, that east side of the Big Island, I'll be sharing tonight at Sure Foundation Church, 6 to 7 o'clock, the Book of Revelation. We're going to pick up our study. We took a little bit of a hiatus. We had one day in there, and then we're back to finish out the book. So we're going to start back again tonight and subsequently the next few Thursday nights as we look at this most amazing book of God's look into the future. And so if you want to know what's going to happen in the days to come, I want to invite you tonight again. Sure Foundation, as you come out of Hilo South, take Highway 130. It's the church on the right-hand side, about halfway to Pahoa, the white picket fence there around the church. I think you'll really enjoy it as we get together. Bring your Bible. I think you're going to enjoy it. Then real quick, in Hilo, tomorrow night at the downtown by the post office, that downtown, downtown Hilo, Christ Afari will be playing at the Hilo Friday night market. And so we want to invite you to come to that. Great chance of evangelism for all of us, and CSN will be there. We'll have a booth there as well. Looking forward to meeting many of you again. And so that's tomorrow night, downtown Hilo, Farmer Market at night. I believe they start playing about 6:30 till about 8:30. And again, I'd like to invite you to that. I think it's something that you'll really enjoy. And so look forward to meeting you, and it'll be a great time. Well, let's go ahead and go to the phones again. 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. We have Rocky on the line, Amarillo, Texas. Hi, welcome. Hi, Rocky.
Hello. Yes, I have a question. I'm seeing a lot of conversation online regarding the gospel of Paul. And if you want to be saved, we're only saved by the gospel of Paul. And I agree with it, because they talk about 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, the death, burial, and resurrection. But when I throw a question back at them, like, you know, if you were had never seen the Bible, never heard the Bible taught, and you received a sealed copy of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, reading those, you could be saved. And the ones that will answer that question, they say no. You're only saved. And I think they fit into that group that they're calling the mid-acts hyper-dispensational group, yeah. But they tend to talk about all you have to do is believe, all you have to do is believe. And you know, I'll bring up, well, no, I mean, there's repentance that's, you know, kind of a sign of a believer, but I don't know. It's challenging. And you know, I told one guy today, I said, you know, you need to, you know, that if I just read the book of John, I would be saved. And he said, show me in the book of John where you find salvation. And I said, well, you piece it all together. But I don't know. I'm curious your thoughts on those arguments.
John 3:16 is about as crystal clear as you can get. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. Who would ever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The word believe there means put all your faith, hope, and trust in. I don't know what Bible these people are reading, but they're not reading the entirety of God's word. You know, when you hear this hyper-dispensationalism, and that's what you're talking about. Now, is there dispensations in the Bible? Absolutely. God dealt with man in the time of innocence in the Garden of Eden. Then we find after man fell, we have the dispensation of consciousness or conscience, where we know, you know, to kill somebody is wrong or different things like that. It's written on man's heart. Then we know we got the dispensation of the law, where the Ten Commandments were laid down to clarify what that conscience should be defined by. Then when Jesus died on the cross for us, we entered the dispensation of grace. And we're in that dispensation right now. Now, of course, we look still at the tribulation period, the millennial reign of Christ, and of course, eventually, the eternal reign of Christ forever in the New Jerusalem. Now, hyper-dispensationalism is in complete error. In other words, well, what was a sin in the time of the law isn't a sin anymore. Or the way God dealt with people then is not the way God deals with people now. Well, that shows really an ignorance of the entirety of God's word. And I don't want to be mean here, and I'm not trying to be mean. But Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Yet these people come along willy-nilly and say, oh, no, that doesn't apply here. This does apply here. Paul's gospel is not different than the gospel of Christ. And when someone says, well, where do you find you get saved in the book of John? Read the book of John. That would probably be a good place to start, because there's no way around John 3:16. But even furthermore, you have John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that, here it is, the world through him would be saved. Oh my, where do you find it in the book of John? Try John 3:16 and John 3:17, that the world would be saved. I don't know, Daryl, how you can get any clearer than that. And for people to go to the moon with false heresies saying, well, no, God dealt with the Jews there in the Gospels, and now God's way of salvation for the Gentiles is different. No, if somebody was to spend any time reading the book of Galatians, you would very clearly see that it's the same God, same Jesus, same blood on the cross, and same through faith. We're saved, whether we're looking in the Gospels or the writings of Paul. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, in John 3:36, I mean, you just read John 3, basically. We also read, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I mean, all through John, Jesus is constantly sharing about the great salvation he's going to give to humanity if they would come to faith in him. It is interesting that there's people out there who try to develop their own system of belief instead of just keeping everything in context as you read through the Bible. From the Old Testament, people were saved, to the New Testament, people are saved. We're now filled with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. As we discover in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, you'll be witnesses unto me as you receive power as the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. We also know that Paul writes about Jew and Gentile becoming one in the faith, which is something that the apostles had to wrap their minds around, that they just saw themselves being saved through the Mashiach, the Messiah that would come. And then all of a sudden God had to reveal to Peter and others that, hey, you know what? It's the gospel is going to go to the whole world. It's going to go to the Gentiles also. And Jesus was relaying that as the Samaritan, he gave the illustration of the good Samaritan and so forth, the gospel going forth and the good deeds and so forth, coming to faith in God and trusting in Christ. And then you see the gospel through the book of Acts go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then Paul writes in Ephesians that Jew and Gentile become one. We are the body of Christ. And so this is vitally important. When we look to this dispensation of grace, just keep everything in context from Matthew through Revelation and don't mess with it. But people think they come up with some new and unique idea and so forth. And no. It's all the same. It's been the same from the beginning. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Paul writes, you know, as we have faith in him, we're saved by grace. It's by the grace of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. It's very important for us to realize these things because that's the gospel. It's the good news of salvation. When you do believe, though, there's this faith that will then prove, you'll prove your faith as you come to faith in Christ. We call that repentance. Go from unbelief to belief, to turn from sin to the Savior. You'll have a desire to read the Word of God. You'll have a desire to go to church. You'll have a desire to fellowship. You'll have a desire to help other people. There'll be the proof that you're filled with the Holy Spirit and God is changing your life. You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect till we reach heaven, but you're being changed. And this is the power of the gospel and the power of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, through us, for the glory of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, well, now, would you please read that verse again that you just, when you started there?
Sure, John 3:36.
Yeah.
The Father loves the Son, has given all things into his hand. Then it's, that was verse 35. 36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him.
Okay, well, Rocky, to answer your question, Darrell, would you read the exclusions there on verse 36? Because it says, he that believes. And so these people that are saying you can only be saved through Paul now are adding to God's word, saying that, well, he except those that are Gentiles and under Paul's doctrine. So they're adding to God's word. And again, we find the same problem with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever would believe in him. Now, whosoever, again, we've got to look for the exclusion here. Whosoever believes in him, except those that are Gentiles, will be brought into the kingdom through Paul's doctrine. But that's not what it says. And these people that seem, for some reason, to be so arrogant that they feel they can add to God's word, I have real problems with that. And, you know, people have often asked me sometimes, they said, Mike, you know, sometimes we hear you get a little hot on the radio. It hurts me, and I get angry because there's always someone that wants to come along and rewrite the Bible to suit their own belief. This is why I get a little hot at the cults, because somewhere in these organizations, they know what they're manufacturing, what they're selling to the masses is a lie. They know these books that their founding fathers in their religion were written on were made up. They keep the lie alive because of power, money, prestige, esteem, all the things that go right back to pride. And when the Bible says God so loved the world, no, it doesn't mean that. For God so loved the Jews, because we got to fix the Bible here, because, you know, Jesus was messing up, man. And so let us men straighten this out, that you have to have Paul's doctrine. I hate to be facetious here, but I really am, because it is so ridiculous when you really look at what they're saying, that the gospel of Paul was different than the gospel of the apostles and Jesus. Come on. So, Rocky, I hope that gives you a little bit of ammunition, because, again, I want to see the exclusions in John 3:36. I want to see the exclusions of John 3:16 and 3:17, because there aren't any. And that's the way we're saved. It's by faith. They came to Jesus and they said, what work must we do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, oh, there's no works involved at all. It's all by grace you're saved. Jesus didn't say that. He said, this is the work that you must do. Believe that the Father has sent me. Friends, it's not really a work as much as it is an act of faith, but it does require us. When someone says, I never did anything to get salvation, so I can't do anything to lose salvation. Well, then you're not born again, because the Bible clearly says we have to believe in him. That means put all your faith, hope, and trust in. If you say, I didn't do that, well, you're saying, I'm not born again. Because Jesus said, you must believe that the Father has sent me. You must understand why the Father has sent me, because it all goes back to Jesus. Hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. That it helps. And of course, one of the things that they jump on is when I bring up repentance, I tell them when they teach, all you have to do is believe. I said, that's dangerous to a person new to Scripture, because they may think, gosh, all I need to do is believe. And then they don't understand anything about repentance. And then when I bring up repentance, they say, no, that's not required. And then they say,
well, then
they
why say, did Paul write a chapter one of the book of Romans? See, I know what they're saying, but their logic is not there. Because if it's not required for any repentance at all, then where did Paul get off writing to the Corinthians at all? In other words, he writes to a church saying you're messed up, you need to repent. Jesus himself wrote to churches in Revelation 2 and 3 and told them to repent. And some of those were actually Gentile churches. So when you understand really their argument, when you really examine it, it's feathers. There's just nothing there. And so it's, I think, another excuse for what I call easy believism. Just stuff Jesus in your pocket, climb to the top, do what you want to do. Repentance is not necessary, man. So, man, you're going to enjoy that fire insurance, but don't worry about anything else. That is not the gospel. Jesus very clearly laid out what it is. And they're trying to say Paul's ministry was more important than Jesus's ministry. Yeah. That's the biggest problem. But Paul's ministry was Jesus's ministry. They just don't understand it. Now, again, you cannot read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, these don't be deceived. He writes this to a church. People who have these lifestyles will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, how do you get out of those lifestyles? Oh, here it is, everybody. You repent. Wow. So again, you know, when you really examine a lot of these belief systems, friends, if you know the Bible, it's just nothing but feathers. It really is. And when somebody, see, otherwise, where does Paul get off writing to the Corinthian church and compelling them to repent? Where does Jesus get off in Revelation 2 and 3 compelling those churches to repent? Since it really doesn't matter. No repentance necessary. That is complete, total heresy, Rocky, and I hope that helps.
That does. Paul, without saying the word repent, Paul basically taught the Corinthians to stop doing what they're doing, to get away from their sins. So, I mean, I like that. Thanks for that.
Yeah, well, look at what Jesus said. He didn't just address the church at Jerusalem. In fact, he never did. Church of Thyatira, you know, the Church of Philadelphia. He writes these churches. And so we have to understand this is important. And I don't understand anybody's skewed reading of the Bible this bad to believe that they have any insight into God's word at all, when they don't realize the doctrine of Paul, the apostles, and Jesus are all the same. Hope that helps, Rocky. Stay in line. Send you out some books, some DVDs, and great to fortify not only yourself, but also to pass along to your friends. And hope that helps.
Thank you.
God bless you. Let's go to Ann, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to try and summarize my question here because I don't want to get too wordy. But basically, my question is about, well, let me just tell you a little bit about myself. So about 16 months ago, I started getting really sick. And prior to that, I think I had some symptoms that were suggestive of, you know, what I'm dealing with right now that actually became more, you know, intensive 16 months ago. So anyway, I had questions about like healing and like the chastisement and kind of like, is God causing my illness? Has, you know, is this, you know, is he, you know, I don't really like saying the word punishment, or is he punishing me, or is he kind of like really fine tuning me, preparing me for a plan that he has for me in the future, versus looking at, like I listened to a rabbi who said that, that demons occupy space. And he also said that Christians, you know, believers, born again, believe Christians, cannot be possessed. So I guess what I'm wondering is this something that I'm dealing with that is more, you know, like the adversary, you know, occupying that space, and then God allowing the illness to result? But I don't know if I'm making sense or not.
Yes, you are. And Daryl, I'm so glad you're on the air with us today. Yes. Because when someone says, well, you know, the reason you're sick is there's sin in your life. So what they're saying then, let's look at the logic. Every healthy person on earth is right with God. Friends, that's a lie. We know that there's many, many healthy people that have no regard for God whatsoever. And then for somebody to come along and say, well, the reason you're sick is there's sin in your life, or God's punishing you, or he's... Now, Paul himself had an infirmity in his flesh. And he said, he asked the Lord three times to take it away. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. It isn't because he sinned. It isn't because he did. Now, can sin cause illness? Absolutely. I mean, you look at people with a promiscuous lifestyle, with all kinds of diseases now. Many of them they can't get rid of. They can eat medicine to kind of keep it under control. Oh, yeah, sin can cause that. Jesus said to the guy by the pool of Siloam, he says, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So when we understand that it can, but that's really not, I believe, the reason most people are sick. I think we're under a curse of our old bodies that we need a new one. Daryl, every day I know I need a new one more and more. and if you're 30, you probably go, what is he talking about? If the Lord tarries, you will. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Dearest Dan, you know what? I think you've kind of, unfortunately, have taken in some teaching that's in error. And here's the deal in life. As we live, we may face various illnesses and so forth as part of the fallen nature of who we are. It could be even a child or a baby, or it could be young adult, or it could be older. There's diseases that are in our world. Does God heal? Yes, he does heal. Ultimately, he will heal all believers, will go to heaven, be glorified. So we know that there is an ultimate healing. And sometimes our lives are cut shorter just because God wants to bring us home, and he wants to use our life that way as a testimony to others who will come to that memorial service and hear the testimony of that believer and so forth. And hopefully the preacher is going to give a salvation message and those people will be saved. Our lives are not our own. They belong to the Lord. He has purchased us. And however he wants to use us, so be it. I know I have cancer right now, and my treatments are going very well. And of course, you know, whenever you get something like this, you say, "Oh Lord, why me?" And then I also come to the recognition that why not me? If God, you can use this for your glory, so be it. And how can I reach other people? Maybe you want me to be ministering to people at the City of Hope where I get my treatments, and maybe you want me to be used to encourage others in the body of Christ. It's not my will be done, but thy will be done. If he wants to heal me fully in a miraculous way, so be it. If not, then so be it. It's just accepting the things that come in life, and we pray for healing. We don't discount the power of God, but we pray for it. And if it doesn't happen, we just continue to live for him. It's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in us. I think Mike gave a good illustration with Paul. You know, he was being buffeted by Satan. He prayed three times that infirmity would leave him. And God says, no, when you're weak, I'm strong in you. And so Paul recognizes, okay, so be it. I asked three times. That's enough. And move on. And Mike also shared, which I thought was appropriate, was, you know, sometimes you just reap what you sow. If you're going to be doing promiscuous things or drinking or whatever it might be, you may get cirrhosis of the liver. You may get a sexually transmitted disease, whatever it is. If you're going to drive crazy on the freeway, you may get in an accident. But all these things are just, there's things that are just part of life. And now when you, if we want to talk about the disciplinary hand of the Lord, yes, the Bible does say at the communion table and so forth that maybe some of you are doing it in an unworthy matter. You're not taking God seriously, and some of you are sick, and some of you have died because, hey, there's certain things. Also, you get to the chastising of the Lord in Hebrews chapter 12. There's where God wants to get your attention, will wake you up and bring you back to him. The prodigal son had to reach the very bottom so he returned to the Lord. So those are all various aspects, but I would say this much for you, and it sounds like you're living for the Lord. I don't know what illness that you have, but I wouldn't say that God doesn't love me. He loves you tremendously. He gave his all for you. And in the midst of your infirmity, say, Lord, how do you want to use this infirmity for your glory and as a testimony of your love? Because a lot of times people who are outside the body of Christ, they watch us and they go, you've got this illness and you're still praising the Lord. That's amazing. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Amen. And we'll talk more about this because, you know, I think a lot of times the devil just loves to beat people up saying,
yes,
it's all your fault. And, you know, I got to tell you something. Even if it was our fault, God still can heal us. God still gives his grace to us to make it through. Coming up on a break, we'll have more right after this.
Preborn is making Mother's Day possible 280,000 times and more.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Preborn's network of clinics rescues 200 babies every day by introducing mothers to their preborn babies. You see, when a woman considering abortion meets her precious baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she is 80% more likely to choose life. To learn more about their life-saving work, call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
But look around you, your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution comes the incredible true story.
It's going to be dangerous and scary and giving up. It's not an option.
The story of one family's journey from down under to center stage. Unsung Hero, a For King and Country film starring Candace Cameron Bure and Terry O'Quinn. In theaters now. Visit unsunghero.movie to learn more. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
In these days of financial instability, we as Christians need to pull together to make sure the gospel of Jesus Christ is spread throughout the world. Here at CSN, we are a listener-supported ministry and need your help. If you have been blessed by what you hear on the radio, please send us a tax-deductible donation to Post Office Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, zip code 83303. Again, that is P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. Or go online to csnradio.com. Help us as we continue to spread the gospel.
I want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. Daryl's a pastor of Calvary Chapel there in Honolulu, Hawaii, and Pearl Harbor area. And so if you're over visiting in Hawaii, I know that Daryl would absolutely just love to see you. If you're on the Big Island, south of Hilo tonight, we're going to be studying the book of Revelation. I'd love to meet all of you. that listen here on CSN, and that's going to be at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock there at Sure Foundation Church. Again, as you leave Keau, headed towards Pahoa, about halfway, it's on the right-hand side of the road, and love to see you there. Bring your Bible. You're going to use it. Again, tomorrow night, Christofari, the downtown Friday night Hilo Market up there by the post office. Christofari will be playing. It'll be a great time. And so look forward to being there with all of you as well again. And so going back to the phones, you know, when we talk about that, you know, Ann was asking about illness, you know, and I think so many times people beat themselves up when they get sick, saying, oh, this is something that I've done. God is punishing me or whatever. I really don't know that God punishes us. I think sometimes, again, a lifetime of sin, that's why God says it's sin, because it's not good for you. And we figure that out. But sometimes our bodies just break down. All of our bodies, everyone listening right now, your body is under a curse. And every time you go past the cemetery and you see all those headstones, it reminds you nobody gets out of this alive except for the rapture, because, again, our bodies are under a curse. But someday we're going to be resurrected. Our body will be resurrected. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Speaking of our spirit, but your body, well, you go by the cemeteries. They're all out there in the coffins and urns and things like that. But someday, when the rapture comes, this mortality is going to put on immortality. Our spirit will reunite with our body, will be caught up to be with him in the air, and there will ever be. You know, we're going to need a body as we rule and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. You know, Daryl, any words that you would say to Anne? Because, again, I think so many people get beat up over this, and it's so sad.
I agree with you 100%. There's some bad doctrine out there, bad teachings regarding, well, if you're ill, then you don't have enough faith to be healed, or if you're ill, you get sin in your life. And those are, that is bad teaching. That's not what the gospel says. Our time of glorification will take place when we go to heaven. That's when we'll be glorified and we'll be perfected. And as you just shared, Mike, at the rapture of the church, we're all going to get these brand new bodies, because we have to return to the earth with the Lord. Revelation 19 will return on these horses and so forth. And as we come back, Jesus is going to reign and rule on the earth for 1,000 years. And all those that did not take the mark of the beast are going to be allowed to come into the kingdom of God in under Christ. And we're going to be a kingdom of spiritual priests ministering to those who made it through the tribulation, who didn't take the mark of the beast, who have children and children and children and children. It'll be much like the Garden of Eden again in that 1,000-year reign of Christ. But we're going to be ministering to all these folks spiritually. And so we need this body for the heavens and for the earth, but it's a perfected body. It never grows old. It'll never get fat. It's not going to get diseased. It's not going to sin, and so on and so forth, because we're now glorified. And that's the last aspect of the great salvation our Lord gives us. And I love what you just quoted. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And there's exciting stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, towards the end of the chapter, we read about this transformation, this metamorphosis that will take place. And this is the assurance of hope that all believers have, and we look forward to that time. This life in this world is but 5 minutes compared to eternity. And Anne, if I could encourage you, dear sister, you know what, do your best to whatever that illness is to get cured. There's many things that God gives us to help cure various things in this fallen state that we have. And also, of course, the greatest is that that miracle touch. But if it doesn't happen, just be a testimony, be a witness of the love of Jesus for you and for others as you go through this life. God's going to do a great, mighty work in you and through you. God bless.
You know, and something else we need to remember as well is you mentioned that you went to a minister or a priest or someone, and they said that we, as Christians, cannot be demon possessed. I believe that's absolutely correct. Yes. Do not believe that a Christian can be demon possessed. And when you realize, as you look in the Bible, that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, I believe this is why it's so important that we are. Now, I do believe that we can be attacked by demonic ideas. Peter says our enemy, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. I think through the power of suggestion, through the power sometimes of circumstances, we can be tempted. And so we want to be very careful of those things. But again, I don't believe the devil does that, can possess a Christian. Now, can the devil buffet us? Absolutely. The Bible says he can. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Darrell, any last thoughts?
No, I would say just stay strong in the Lord and just realize as you have an illness in life, you pray for healing. That's a great thing. And if it happens, it's wonderful. If not, there's other avenues of medications, whatever this issue might be. You don't want to be like some folks say, well, you can't take any medication. That means you don't have faith. No, God gives us wisdom and knowledge, understanding in this world and in with our bodies today with various medications to help these infirmities that we have, and so forth. So, you know, we have the knowledge of good and evil. So we do vacillate back and forth. And a lot of these, different, pharmaceuticals and stuff that help our bodies. It's the good aspect of the nature of mankind trying to heal us from these various diseases. So, everything is to work out for the glory of God. So everything we do is to testify Christ, bring him glory, honor, and praise, no matter what happens, to the very last breath that we take on earth, because then our next breath will be in heaven. So let's glorify him always. Mike?
Amen. Hope that helps, dear. And I think we lost your call there, but if you'd like to call us back, we'll be sure to send you out the books, the DVDs. I think they'll be very helpful for you and for your friends. With that, we'll go to, I don't know who we're going to go to, line two, Barbara. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Barbara. How may we help?
Oh, thank you for taking my call, and I just love you guys. This program is so amazing. I have a question. Going through a lot of confusion here. I have a couple of friends, one kind of a shorter-term friend, but the other one a long-term friend, that are both into this new apostolic movement all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I find is everything seems to be fine with them biblically until we get to this thing about modern day prophets. And then they're trying to tell me that, and I don't believe it, but just trying to deal with them, trying to tell me that the things that are, going to be happening in Revelation, it's not going to be that way, trying to say things like, oh, no, the prophets or Jesus is going to come back before then and he's going to straighten everything out. And I go, well, that doesn't line up with Revelation.
Yeah, and exactly.
They're trying to convince me. And I say, too, the word of God is complete. So there's no new prophecies. And so I'm having problems. In fact, I've kind of almost lost one friendship over it because she won't let up on me. It's like now she's praying for me because she said I'm defying the Holy Spirit, coming against the Holy Spirit by not listening to this. And it's getting really rough. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I want to keep the peace, but it's both of them are very determined. If you bring up anything about what's going to happen in Revelation or anything, they cut you off and they go, no, the prophet said this. And I'm going,
the prophet. Yeah, their apostles are rewriting the Bible. Run quickly. They are, it's false teaching. The Bible is very clear what's going to happen. These people are making that up. And this is unfortunate. The Seven Mountain Mandate, and we're going to infiltrate the media, and we're going to infiltrate government. We're going to usher in Jesus to come back. Well, that is not what the Bible says. In fact, it's just the opposite. And unfortunately, I think many of these people are going to be ushering in the Antichrist. Your thoughts?
Yeah, when they say we're the new apostles of the day, Mormons have done that also. They have their apostles also. We have the apostles. They're found in the Bible. And they've given us the Word of God, and the Word of God is now complete from Genesis to Revelation, the unveiling of all things. And Jesus, this world is going to get worse. Matthew 24 tells us exactly, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be pestilences and famines and earthquakes. All these things are going to be taking place. And then will come the great the rapture of the church, then the great tribulation period, of course. And in that great tribulation period, Revelation chapter 6 through 19, there'll be the institution of the mark of the beast as the Antichrist is reigning and ruling across this world. They have this pie in the sky idea that they're going to be the ones to really usher in the kingdom. Jesus ushers in the kingdom. He's going to do it. We cannot bring world peace to this world. We can bring peace to the human heart through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, but world peace is not going to take place. It's going to get worse. It's going to get ugly, and we see it happening right now. And these poor folks to disregard the book of Revelation, they just need to sit down and just listen to a full teaching on the book of Revelation, and they'll understand it. But they don't want to do that. It's what they say is, what they're trying to say is, we're right. But that's all the things they leave out. There are these cults and different ideas like this. They're always leaving out so much information, and they just keep harping on what they think is right. And, you know, it's like the old Adolf Hitler thing, not to say that they're Nazis or anything, but I'm just saying is, you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, then the people have to believe. No, Jesus said, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. We have the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Let's follow it, believe it, and expect this is what's going to happen. So it's unfortunate, my dear, that this has happened to you, and your friends have been duped into this stuff. And just keep sharing with them, but stand strong in what you're doing. And sometimes, yeah, you do have to pull away. Mike?
Yeah, because it's unfortunate that they buy into this stuff. And what is so bad about it, it's so anti-scriptural.
Yes.
They're listening to their own prophets rather than what the Word of God says. And this is always going to be an issue. You know, God be true, all men are liars. And I'll tell you, we see it happen over and over and over again. So, Barbara, stand strong in the faith. You keep praying for them. I'll send you out some books, some DVDs. I'll send you out 101 Last Days Prophecy, kind of put some bumps in the road. I think they're going to have to reconcile a few things. But because of their horrible, unbiblical stance of end days, their whole theology is off. And this is going to cause down the road a lot of people to really stumble. And because that's the whole purpose of false teaching anyway, is to get people to stumble in their faith. If not immediate today, down the road, that those seeds of deception have been sown, they begin to take root, they start to grow. Then what really happens is so much different than what their prophets or their minister has said, that their faith is bumped. And this is what we don't want. This is why Daryl, myself, other people here on CSN, we do our best to tell you the truth. Do you think, you know, sometimes everybody, and I'm sure Daryl, you're like this too, it bothers me. I don't like to be somebody that comes on the air and says, hey, they're teaching whack stuff. Go back to what the Bible says in context, line upon line, precept upon precept. They don't do that. And so they go hopscotching through the Bible like a spiritual smorgasbord, building their whole ideas, completely disregarding much of what the Bible says. And people think they've got a new revelation. Ooh. No, same old lie in a new package.
Yeah, you know, Mike,
go ahead.
If I could add to that, you know, unfortunately, we're in a time period now. People want more hits on their website to prove themselves or something like that. So they come up with some very outlandish teachings and ideas. And really, the new apostolic movement is just power to be authoritarians over people. It's cultish that way. We have to realize that Jesus is Lord, and we study the Word of God, and we learn and we grow. And yes, we do have to. I mean, if you read 2 Peter, it's all about false teachers and so forth. And there's so many other areas where Jesus even says, be careful. There's going to be false Christs in the last days. There's going to be false prophets. There's going to be false teachers. Warning after warning teaches it about all these various people. Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says they're going to come to you with a different Jesus. They're going to come to you with a different spirit. They're going to come to you with a different gospel. But they're going to use the term, the same terms, which is they're going to use the name of Jesus. They're going to use the message that what they're going to say is this is the gospel, or they're going to say this is the working of the Holy Spirit. But when you study their teachings and you study the Word of God, they don't mesh. They don't pan out. And that's why we have to study the Word of God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Jesus gave us warning after warning. They're coming. They're coming for you. They're going to try to deceive you, trick you, take your money, and so forth. Peter's very explicit in the religious ripoffs that are coming and so forth. And Jesus had to deal with them in his day as he flipped over the tables in the temple. So stay strong, my friends. Mike?
Barbara, hope that helped. Stay online. We'll send you out some books, DVDs, okay?
Can I ask you one other question?
Sure.
Okay, so these are both people in my church. This is the problem I'm having. This is why I'm calling you, is that, okay, so they won't let up on me. They're insisting that you know, something's wrong with me. I did go to the pastor and tell him about it just in case he wanted to know about this going on in the church. And he said, well, just try to change the subject. And I said, that would be nice if that was happening, but they won't let up. I mean, it's like
I think you need to go back to your pastor and say, you know, tell him you called in, talk to us, and say, no, you got some real spiritual leaven going on in your church, and you better address it. You know, ministers have to stand up for what's right. And right now, friends, it's all about nickels and noses. You know, we don't want to offend anybody. Because after all, we got to pay for this esophagus we call a church building. No, you got to go back and stand and say, hey, listen, you guys, if you're going to want to insist on holding non-biblical views, you need to find someplace else. Because just listen, dear, as it's affecting you, how many more people in your church that you don't know about is it affecting? And this is what I would tell your pastor. Because again, the spirit of error is definitely alive and well there. And I really believe that God, not by accident, caused you to call in today and to say, hey, listen, we need to get this fixed because this is a complete unbiblical view not held by anybody. This is just made up. So I really believe that because you don't know how many others in your church are being affected by this infection, I would definitely go back and tell your pastor.
Yeah, you know, I would also, the pastor needs to send a himself or an associate pastor need to go and confront these people and deal with it head on, because a little leavens the whole lump, and that's what you don't want. And I think Mike hit the nail on the head. Hopefully it's not the case, but nickels and noses, just worried about losing somebody, maybe a tithing member. It doesn't matter. God's in control of the finances. God's the one that provides for the church. It's not the people. And that's where pastors have to stand up against false teachings and false doctrine, confront it head on. You're a shepherd. You're to protect the sheep from the wolves in sheep's clothing. And, you know, these people are in error too. They've been deceived. So you need to speak the truth to them so they would come to the saving knowledge of the truth through the Word of God. Mike?
Amen. Barbara, we're here for you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your input on this. It's been a real problem for me lately.
Well, and here's the other problem you don't know. Again, not only it sounds like these people are actively recruiting within your church, but you don't know how many there are total as well. You know probably at least a couple, but it could be a whole lot bigger than that. And for the sake of your church, to avoid a church split, he better deal with it, because this is how church splits happen, where somebody gets in there with some sin, some leaven, and they start spreading it around. Pretty soon people start buying the bad chili, and all of a sudden you've got a really sick congregation. So I would really encourage you, Barbara, to take a stand and let your light shine, okay?
Okay, love you guys. Bye.
God bless you.
God bless, love you too.
Let's go to Shirley, Denton, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Mike, and hi, Pastor Daryl, and
yes.
Amen to all your answers. I have a question in Revelation 1:1, and as it reads, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that soon must take place. He made it known by sending his angel to the servant John. I've always thought that through the Bible, Jesus Christ, referring to him, all the hymns would be capitalized, or all the referring to Jesus Christ. And so I've got stumped because I've done a Revelation study before and doing it again, and this caught my eye. And can you explain why him, referring to Jesus Christ, if I'm correct, and his angel, his referring to Jesus Christ also, if I'm not mistaken, because I could be, why is it not capitalized?
It is in my Bible. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's what version, what Bible are you reading from? What version?
ESV and King James. And NIV, and none of mine are capitalized. It's all lowercase h.
I'm in the New King James, and it has it all capitalized. Him, we know it should be capitalized because we know it's talking about the Lord Jesus. And why? I don't know about the. Well, all I can say is it's we know who it's referring to, and it should be. That's all I can say, Mike.
Yeah, and so. Yeah, pick up a New King James Bible, take a look at it. And I think it does in fact refer to the deity of Christ and who he is. And, so I don't know, Daryl, I've never heard this one before. So this is all new for me.
Well, yeah, as you were looking at the New King James, I mean, we know who it's referring to and it should be capitalized. Yeah, I'm looking at the old King James right now. I pulled it up, and it doesn't have a capitalized Y. I have no idea.
So,
good search
observation
out there.
Yeah. Well, we'll do a little research on it for you, Shirley, and see what we can find out. But I definitely believe it's referring to Jesus, don't you, there, Daryl?
Oh, absolutely. And so, I mean, it's very obvious. Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things, which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So yeah, it makes sense, but we'll try to research, see what the reasons might be.
So, okay, Shirley, we'll do what we can do of that. We'll try to let you know as quick as we can. Okay.
Thank you. And amen to all your great answers.
God is good, Shirley. You know, stump the panel. Yeah, we got stumped. Okay, I don't know what to look this up. So I think we got time for one more call. Lauren, New Braunfels, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question about just, I guess, some rumors about a certain great financial collapse that might happen or that will happen. Ultimately to usher in a reset, specifically
I
finances.
That. I believe there will be a crash. When you have the chairman of the Fed saying basically the same thing, we are on unsustainable debt. Right now, we should be conserving our money. Today, I heard, I think it was $8.1 billion. Joe Biden's going to pay off all these college loans with your taxpayer dollars. They're taking public money and benefiting certain groups that may not even financially need it. This is crazy stuff. And until somebody unplugs Joe's printing press, we're on rails to have a financial collapse. That's not me. Look at any financial magazine. They're going to tell you the exact same thing. We are on unsustainable debt spending right now. And there'll come a time. See, and here's what happens. All your savings, 401ks, all that stuff, all go away because it's devaluing your dollar. The more money they print with nothing to back it up, the less your money is worth. And this, everybody, this is why our inflation is out of control. It isn't because of anything else other than terrible economic policies. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, get out and vote for conservative like Donald Trump coming up in November. I'm just saying that because he has conservative policies and he creates a thriving economy, which helps the tax revenues and businesses and people alike and gets rid of inflation. And we need that. And he's the believes in the Constitution. So I'm just saying you vote who you want to, but we know we get the Democrats. We're getting the inflation and all kinds of crazy messes.
Yeah. So, Lauren, stay in line. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. What's the best thing to do? Pray. Say, God, what
yes,
would
amen.
You have me invest in and be about your business? Till tomorrow, may the Lord keep you in his love. Thank you, Daryl, for being on.
Thank you.
And hope to see you tonight at Sure Foundation in Kauai. God bless you.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.